Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Brian Hayes, Gord Miller, we're here until 7 p.m.
And when apparently the storm of the decade's going to hit.
Like, it's gross out
there. It looks like end of days out there. Like the final storm in Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. When it starts getting green, not dark, but green, get a little concerned.
Long overdue, though, right?
Well, we need a rinse.
We need it.
We need a rinse. Yes.
We need a rinse, not a, you know.
The apocalypse?
Yeah.
A monsoon is fine, too.
Yeah, I'm cool with it, man. Like, especially, we're in studio, so what does it matter to us?
You'll hear it. You'll hear it, like, on the doors.
Yeah.
Sure, people in low-lying areas are really appreciating your sympathy.
Well, listen, man.
That's where you live.
This is the way it works in the summer. The weather's been incredible. It's going to be really nice throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. You need it to rain every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
You know? Yes, it's a good thing.
Today's Thursday, right?
Yeah, yes. But lightning strikes, wind, you know, you probably don't need that.
Just nature's way of balancing the ledger.
Yeah. It's all good.
Wow. Marlon Perkins, Wild Kingdom here.
Mike Johnson in studio. So we got to get into the Shea Weber stuff.
Yeah.
So this guy, he had foot surgery already during the year. And now he's got a torn meniscus.
Mm-hmm.
So he had surgery for that. They went in to check it out. And they're like, yeah, it's pretty bad. He's got to have surgery. So he's out 5 to 6 months, which means he's back in December, maybe January, which means he's going to have the built-in excuse that he didn't get to train, he didn't have training camp, which means if he has an awful season, people are almost going to be expecting that. How do the Habs recover from this?
They're going to cling that Carey Price becomes Carey Price from years past.
You win 2-1.
That Vezina Trophy Carey Price comes back and gives him a chance to win because they played a lot of last year without him. And it showed Jeff Petrie had a really good year. But Jeff Petrie's not a number one defenseman. He can't be the guy that plays 27 minutes a night. So, you know, you look at the names on that list that are, you know, your Schlemko and your Juleson and Victor Mete and Xavier Ouellette. It leaves a little to be desired.
They're terrible on paper.
So you
worst center ice in the league, too.
So you don't have a great defense.
Honestly, what makes you happier?
What?
The Leafs getting Tavares or Montreal looking like it might have a bad year?
Well, they're connected. Tavares coming here. Tavares absolutely.
But don't you think hockey, like baseball when the Dodgers or Yankees, like hockey's better when the Rangers are good, when Montreal is good, when Toronto is good. It's a better game.
It's bad for
more
business.
Interesting. Yeah. Forget about the dollars and cents of it, which of course is not great for Montreal to be poor, but they're in trouble. And I mean, guess what? The question is, do they trade Max Pacioretty for a defenseman to try to replace Shea Weber? I think it's a bad idea. I think they should just sit on Pacioretty until they get the deal they want, but that would be one way. Like, what do they do without him? They could trade Pacioretty and get somebody.
But that's the thing. What is out there? And if
you get Justin Falk for Max Pacioretty,
yeah, you might be able to. If Carolina feels like they can sign him long term, right? Like it doesn't have to be a part of the contract or the conversation because Pacioretty's a UFA next year.
He does have a little bit, and you know we've heard about perhaps Los Angeles wanting to acquire Max Pacioretty. You do have to. He does have control because he doesn't have to. Sign.
Sorry to I'm not cut sure you off. What the hell is Gord doing? Gord just left the studio.
I think
what's going on out there?
I think he left his window open.
Well, I was checking that. That's not a rinse out there, my friend.
It's a full-blown, like, hurricane, monsoon type thing. Well, again, we knew it was coming. They've been calling for it. So shout out to the weather guy who actually hit
one. It's a guy?
It's like meteorologist. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Johnny. I cut you off.
Yeah. No, I was also wondering what was happening with Gord out
there. Gord just got up and walked out the studio.
He just slid out the back door.
Jeff O'Neill's not here, so I think once a week somebody should get up and walk out for no apparent reason.
That is something he would do. But although he would have got in his car and left.
Yeah.
That's the
Gotta beat the storm home.
Yeah, he would not have come back into the studio.
Question is, though, for Mark Bergevin. Like, he's in a tricky spot. He seems to have a vote of confidence. He seems to have the owner and him on the same page. He's got the new coach. Can he last another miserable year if he has the Shea Weber built-in excuse that he wasn't around?
I don't think so. I'm surprised he's back this year, quite frankly. I really am. After that bad of a season for Bergeron. Bergeron's been there for 5 years.
This is
not
time.
Like, exactly. Like, Pierre Dorion's been there for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Benning's only been there a few years. 5 years, and he's been searching for the exact same piece the whole time. That's a number one center. He doesn't even have a number two center.
And what they traded to look for guys to be number one, so they traded Sergachev, who looks like a real good young defenseman, to get Drouin. They drafted Galchenyuk. They've pronounced him not to be a center. The biggest thing to me, Mike, is the problem with the Weber thing is not just the number one defenseman hurt, is it brings back the narrative on the Subban trade. Right? Because now the Subban trade looks worse and worse by the day. You can't predict someone getting hurt.
Well, that's it. Did you hear the stat? I think the most games he missed in the previous 8 years was like four.
Yeah.
Shea Weber, you're saying.
He never gets hurt. So you can predict his bones became brittle. He blew it. It can't be dumped on Mark Bergeron, the fact that Shea Weber's hurt.
Well, but it's going to be.
You can rack the tape. I'm well on board. That was a bad trade.
Yep.
For Montreal. What about when PK gets traded again out of Nashville in a year or whenever? Like, does that balance the books at all for, you know,
no, I don't something think it to does. That? I don't think it does because what PK represented, forget what he represented on the ice. This was a god in the city.
Yeah.
The fans loved him, and you know how Montreal gravitates to those kind of personalities and those kind of stories and the way that he played the game. So I don't think it even matters where Subban is in three or four years. The one thing I will say about Weber that Bergevin has to take into consideration, or you have to take into consideration when you're debating how much heat he should take, Weber is 4 years older than Subban.
Yes.
So you're right. You can't predict a broken foot or a torn meniscus, but you can predict a guy in his 30s is going to get banged up at some point.
Yeah.
More likely than a guy four years younger than him.
You're more prone to injuries as you get into your 30s, into your mid-30s, and he still has eight more years.
That's the scary thing. He's going to be 33 in August. So he's 33. He doesn't have great foot speed to begin with, and now he's coming off a broken foot, a torn meniscus. What are we going to see out of him? What is Shea Weber going to be when he returns in January?
I'm assuming very good still.
Yeah, still shoot. I mean, he'll still shoot rockets.
I mean, he didn't necessarily become great, if you want to consider him great, because he could skate. So, like, you're not taken away. It's like, you know, I didn't become small when I got to the NHL. I didn't become slow when I got to the NHL. Like, you were those things on your arrival. So he will still be strong. He'll still be able to shoot. He'll still be smart. Still be tough. He'll have to work, probably, on his fitness. And that might be the concern, because he's a big, heavy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're laid up now for 9 months between the foot and the knee. Now he'll rehabilitate, obviously.
But still, you're not.
You haven't trained normally for 6 months.
It's not your shoulder. You can't ride a bike while you're doing this.
So that will be a concern. But he'll still be the best defenseman on Montreal.
Well, that's the truth, and that's again the problem here for the Habs. And if you're a Habs fan, you're coming off what was a miserable season. Carey Price was not in a good spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did not have a very good year. His 8-year, $10.5 million contract is kicking in this year. Like I said, this
he's going to earn it.
Well, I said this before the break, MJ. I think he's got more pressure on him than any other player in the league. I think the most
you
pressure.
You know what?
I think he's got to win a Vezina for them to be a playoff team.
Yeah, which is probably too high of a standard, but you might be right about the pressure because the entire organization is built around him being great. The contract is given to him. I think it's a couple million dollars more than any other goalie's ever gotten, right?
More than Lundqvist.
Lundqvist 8.5?
Yes.
So you're talking about a 25% bump on the next highest paid goaltender. He's going to have to be great. And it can't be team in front of us wasn't very good. That's why you make $11 million.
Well, he will be, though. Part of it will be that, you know, he did what he could.
Yeah, but that means he's got to do what he can.
If his save percentage is 908.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
If he's got a 933 and they don't win a lot because they lose a lot of games 2-1,
exactly.
Okay, then you can say that.
If he goes 920 and they, you know.
Which is probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Slightly above average save percentage. So, they're a slightly below average team.
So we're going to do this later, like the biggest tire fire. When we do
it? Well, we can get to it right now if you want.
So we were talking earlier about.
There's just not even a. Is there a question?
No.
Well, I think
Ottawa.
There's I think there's
that's what I'm saying. There is no question. It's Ottawa.
Okay.
Montreal's making a case, but I agree with you. The Ottawa Senators are number seven. Like, yeah. If we're doing this 1 through 7,
yeah.
Do we all concede that Ottawa is the biggest tire fire in the country right now?
Yeah.
In large part because of the off-ice stuff.
Off-ice stuff, but even to switching directions. They were,
I was waiting
15 months ago from being a conference finalist, an overtime goal away from a Stanley Cup finalist.
Well, so. I saw the Ticketmaster story last week. So Ticketmaster had a data breach last week, and a bunch of, they're saying pro sports teams are involved. Like, oh, it's got to be Ottawa. No, there's no indication it is, but
could be fake news, is what you're saying.
No. Ticketmaster.
If it's going to be against anyone.
Ticketmaster did have a breach, and they've acknowledged it. But I'm just waiting. Like, I'm waiting to hear what.
If there's bad news to be had, it's going to be about Ottawa. Is what he's suggesting.
Well, and look at this Mark Stone stuff today. Mark Stone has filed for arbitration, which means he can only get a 1-year deal, and he'll be a UFA after this year.
Right, because he's a UFA after this year, anyways.
Yeah. Unless they lock him up long term, which they could, haven't.
Okay, so Ottawa at the bottom.
Yeah. Yes.
Montreal or Vancouver?
Montreal 6 for me. I think, and you add to this Shea Weber stuff, Bergevin. They have no center ice.
Well, I guess what
they don't have a vision. I don't know their
vision.
Well,
that's just it. I don't know if tire fire is the best way to describe it, but at least Vancouver appears to be like, we're going young, we're rebuilding, we're trying to. Except for Jay Beagle and Antoine Roussel.
Okay, forget that.
No, but you know, they have their package of young players they're trying to build around. And that's where they're headed. At least, you know, they may not be as good as some of the other teams, but at least they have a vision. Like Montreal, they're kind of stuck in the middle.
Okay.
Yes. So that's why I think Montreal is 6. Do we all agree on that?
Okay, Vancouver then, 5?
I have Vancouver 5.
That's fair, yeah.
Although I think Edmonton makes a great case.
Not yet. I can concede them one more. Like, we'll see what happens this year.
If they miss the playoffs this year...
We could do this again a year from now.
They could drop to the bottom of this list.
How can you miss the playoffs 2 years in a row with the greatest player in the game?
On top of that, Draisaitl's really good. Nugent Hopkins is good.
But they're top heavy. They got no their defense hasn't been good enough, and they've known it.
Mm-hmm.
They've known it for a long time. I mean, they traded Taylor Hall for Adam Larson out of desperation. They needed a defenseman, and they thought Larson was good, but they traded one of their highly paid forwards that they knew was good. To get a D-man. Now, you know, I mean, Larson had a difficult year for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
But it's just incredible.
But you know what also factored in?
They're also capped out, Brian. Like they are handcuffed against the cap.
But that's another part of the Hall trade that doesn't get connected enough, but it should be, is that they decided that they would rather have Milan Lucic take up that $6
million.
And make no mistake, that was a part of it.
Well, you remember the narrative after it. We didn't trade Adam Larson for Taylor Hall.
Right.
We traded Milan Lucic and Adam Larson for Taylor Hall.
Exactly.
Look how smart we are because we replaced Hall, but we got the other defenseman. Mm-hmm. So we have the scoring and the toughness and the defenseman.
Exactly.
And it's around a little bit more money. But you're absolutely correct. That was part of their plan.
Now Lucic has a contract that will literally be difficult to give away. It's buyout proof. Mm-hmm. It's almost all signing bonus. I mean, it's.
Weren't they suggesting they still thought there was a chance at making hockey trades for Milan Lucic this summer? That's what I mean. Shirelli was.
Well, define a hockey trade another team takes your player.
Yeah, and you get a player back that's not.
I don't think you get
just an anchor.
I can't imagine you'd get any back. I mean, I think you're going to have to throw in a second or a third round pick to get someone to take him.
Mm-hmm. I think you almost have to bring him back and hope he
plays off
20.
And apparently, portions of that contract aren't insured. There's exclusions on his contract for certain injuries that he's had.
Really?
Yeah. Toronto took Nathan Horton. The Leafs took Nathan Horton from Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Was never insured.
His contract was never insured. So the Leafs are paying that cash out. They can afford to do it.
Yeah, so can Edmonton.
No, but I'm just saying. But if you're trying
it
to
makes
move,
that much more difficult
if you're
to
move them.
Arizona's probably, not taking them.
There's 15 teams that aren't going to pay that cash out.
True.
Now, that it depends what the injuries are. But Edmonton, I mean.
So you're saying Edmonton's 4? Calgary's.
Well, we're going backwards. So we got Ottawa 7, Montreal 6. I think, did
Vancouver,
we say Vancouver
5?
Edmonton 4. I think it's pretty clear Calgary's 3.
Calgary's 3.
Yeah.
I think the debate is at the top. Who actually is in the most secure position? Is it Winnipeg or is it Toronto?
Toronto's taking the biggest risk.
With the signing of Tavares?
Yeah. Now, Winnipeg has the biggest dilemma.
Well, Winnipeg's not going to be they're in a great spot, of course. Great team, tons of homegrown talent, all affordable. Well, this summer.
This summer.
And that's it. Like, after next summer, they will be capped to the max between Wheeler re-signing,
Patrick
Laine, Kyle Connor's going to need a big raise, Hellebuck's going to get something.
Trouba needs contract now.
Trouba's going to get six. Hellebuck's going to get six.
Well, Trouba might be north of six.
I was being, generous to Winnipeg's
Trouba
cause.
If you look at what defensemen are getting around the league now, Trouba might be an eight. And if that's an eight,
that sounds strong to me, but
they can't do
me
it.
Too.
Well, does he want to be there?
Well, he claims he does. You know, that's changed a couple of times, but that report came out during the spring that he wants to stay.
So if he wants to stay, I mean, say
so
it's
if
seven.
He wants to stay, you'd have to ask him, and maybe it's just about right side, left side, which I don't know if I ever really bought into the right side, left side thing. Is it the team's really good now, so it's more fun? Is it he's more settled there and more mature, just doesn't want to get back to home?
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that he's going to get $8 million, according to Gord, like, that's enough to make me want to stay in a place that otherwise might not?
Well,
I should say
eight.
What's changed that makes him so willing just a couple years ago he was pretty adamant?
I would, unless it was a family thing and something's changed from that perspective,
right.
I would guess, in terms of what we can speculate based on what we know, it's probably the fact that they took a step. They took more than a step.
Yeah.
They took how many steps did they take this year? Four or five steps?
And they've got, that would be my guess. You make the point. Shifley, Ehlers on great contracts.
Amazing. Shifley's is awesome.
Long contracts. They're great. But in the summer of 2019, Wheeler's unrestricted. Laine needs a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Connor needs a raise. You know, Tyler Myers is unrestricted. Like, it's amazing how fast the bucket fills up on you.
Like, your window to win your best chance, and here's Toronto, is when your best players are in their second and third year of their entry-level deals. Well, if you can have a few of them.
Or you get what Chicago did with Kane and Taves coming out of entry-level signed for six.
Right.
Right, but the cap was a lot lower,
which at the time was kind of the deal, right? That was kind of the going rate was 7 years at six for guys like him.
Taylor Hall. Yeah, really all those guys got
that same
contract.
All those guys got 7 years at six. But now it seems like the ante's been raised where it's, you know, it's 8 years at 10. I mean, will Laine get 10? Probably.
No. Oh, I think he will.
You don't think so?
No.
What if he scores 40 goals again?
How can you pay Jack Eichel more than Patrick Laine? Like, it's all about comparisons.
Because he's a centerman.
And that will be the take. There's no question. Cheveldayev has to come with that. But
And I'm the first one. Sadly, Gord has beaten me down over the years that goals are worth so much more than assists from a guy who got way more assists than goals.
Yep.
I always felt like I was insulting Johnny when I said that.
Yeah, exactly. Every time another twist of the knife. But, you know, Laine doesn't put up a ton of points, scores a ton of goals.
It's the hardest thing to do in the game.
You're preaching to the choir. I'm saying that's not 10. I don't think Jack Eichel's a good contract.
So you can I think it's an awful contract, but he got it.
Yeah. But,
so I guess the question
is, who's another guy that would be next closest? Dreisaitl?
Well, I would, you know.
Would Dreisaitl be closer?
I would say, in terms of overall impact on the game, probably Pastrnak, and he got like 6.7 per year.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the name.
If Laine puts up another 40 goals this year.
Yep. So if he gets 40 goals and 25 assists, 65 points.
Okay, what if Mitch Marner gets
25 goals and 55 assists? He gets 80 points?
Yeah. Does he get less than Laine?
Yes.
Yes.
Because that's the
stick. But Marner's a winger.
Exactly. No, I understand.
Right. And if teams... so if
like, if Austin Matthews gets 38 goals, or the same, he mirrors Laine, he gets more.
Yeah.
Because if you ranked it from the team's perspective, they would tell you defenseman number one in terms of hard-to-find top-end players.
Yeah.
D number one, center two, goalie three, and then wingers. You lump both sides of the wing, left and right side. Wingers like wide receivers in football. You'll find them.
Yeah.
But defensemen and centers are the two hardest to find. And once you find them, then managing them.
Well, who's the highest paid winger in the league? It's Ovechkin.
Ovechkin, yeah.
And then Kane.
Right? Actually,
well,
Kane's
the highest paid.
Kane is higher than Ovechkin.
Kane and Ovechkin. Now, a good comp might be Ovechkin, but the markets are different now. He signed that massive, like, it was in 10-year deal, whatever.
Well, Ovechkin's at 10. Kane's cap number is 10.5.
So who makes 8 or 9? Phil Kessel.
Yeah, Phil.
Is Phil Kessel a comp to Laine? Not in style, but in production?
Overall production?
Kind of.
Yeah, he would
Phil
be.
Put up more points.
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, like, for sure.
So, you know, cap's gone up. I don't think it's 10. I just don't.
No, I think you've sold me on that, but I just...
It's 9. I gave him 9.
That's the thing. Like, and Laine, when you think of that team, you know, I think Scheifele is more important than Line A. But in terms of jersey sales, I would think Line A is probably selling out more than
that doesn't
Scheifele
help your
is.
Salary.
But in fact,
I'm presenting
it
the
should.
Case.
You know what? Should.
It, I'm presenting the case in, back and forth, though, right?
In fact,
should,
is
that
in.
That should help you. You know what? If fans go.
Winnipeg
go,
sells out right now, no matter what.
Yeah.
They don't need Patrick.
In a small building.
They need Patrick Laine. But they don't need Patrick Laine specifically to sell out that building.
But they also need, though, every single year this is going to apply to Winnipeg. And it applies to Edmonton, the two teams in the league more so than anybody else. Selling the idea that players want to stay there is very important.
Yeah. The Northern Canada important. Premium, they want to try to make that go away as much as
exactly.
they can.
Exactly. And Line A's a guy you've invested, second overall, a stud. He's a guy, he's so easy to sell. He's so easy to like.
He's not going anywhere. Like, I know you want to make that illusion, yeah, like, hey, he wants to stay. He's not going anywhere
well,
for
of course
six
he's
years,
not.
Right?
But he doesn't have to sign an 8-year deal either.
But he's not going anywhere for 5 years. Your window will be over in 5 years anyway, so it's cool.
Well, but I agree with that logic, but I don't get the sense like it applies everywhere.
No.
And Toronto's a perfect example, because everyone in Toronto's already just committed to the idea that Mitch Marner's getting $10 million a year, and Nylander's getting $8 million a year. And
isn't Willie Nylander the exact same player as Nick Ehlers?
In many ways.
Like, they're drafted one apart.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, they have around the same number of points.
Yeah. I think
Nylander might have a higher upside, but
I think the Leafs bridge Nylander. I'm convinced the Leafs.
That's the play.
Part of the Leafs' plan is to bridge Nylander.
Get them through Patrick Marleau's contract before they play William Nylander more.
Yeah,
that's the play.
Get you
and do not get him to UFA status though.
No.
You bridge him. Make sure he's an RFA.
You only bridge
at the end
him for 2 years, 3 years. He won't take. Give him 2 years, $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's structured so it's like
that's
three.
That's five a year.
Yeah, five a year, exactly.
Yes. So, but it's 4 and 6 or whatever. So the second year you got to qualify him at 6. Second number's high. That's what the Subban bridge deal.
Yeah.
Was low first year, high second year. So you had to qualify him at the higher number.
So
as insurance.
Yeah,
for
I mean, I think both teams are they're very, very similar positions.
But Marner's agent, he was Athanasiou's agent last year in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go over?
Yeah.
Who won?
He's aggressive.
No, that's fine, but the team won that.
Yeah.
Like, these threats that he was going to the KHL. No, you're not.
Have fun. Dust Badenya.
Yeah, exactly. Kenny Holland said, thanks, man.
How about it?
Call me whenever you want. Yeah. Here's the deal.
We still own your rights for 5 years when you come back.
And by the way, whenever you come back, it's still 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. You don't get to bypass those accrued years or owed years by leaving.
Exactly. Like, Athanasiou, I believe he just signed a 3-year deal at $3 million per. Like, I think I just saw that in the previous hour.
Yeah.
So all that holdout, all that, and you still, this is what you're getting. And guess what? It'll be an RFA at the end of that contract, too.
But to your point, Brian, if Marner comes in with 75, 80 points, leads the team in points again, and Matthews gets 11, gets $11 million.
Gord, what did you start this whole segment with? What's more important?
Oh, I totally.
So when Matthews has 43 goals and Marner has 26, there's your case. Like, it's not hard to say, we love you, Mitch. Okay, who's another guy who gets a 55 split? Who's a guy who plays like that?
Kopitar did it.
You know, players.
But guys his age?
You know, so you think about younger.
Yeah, you
Ryan
you
Nugent Hopkins had a 20-40 season, back in the day. Like, look at those kind of guys.
I'm not saying the Leafs should give. I'm just saying.
Well, McDavid's
first
heart. Clayton
Keller will be that guy.
The agent's going to come in and say, my guy got 80 points, led the team in scoring for a second straight year.
I think what's most likely to happen here is Marner will say, you know what, I'll play another year. Like, I if you're the Leafs, you try to work out a long-term extension with both of them, and, you know, maybe with Nylander, but I tend to agree with you guys. I think they'll probably bridge him. Nylander needs a deal. He can't play again until he gets one. Marner's got one more year left.
No rush.
And I could see him being like, you know what, I'll gamble on me putting up 90 points. And if he puts up 90 points... And let's not forget what he did in the playoffs, too. Bruce Cassidy did not spend a second talking about Austin Matthews.
Yep.
He was pumping Marner's tires every single second.
Listen, we're talking about whether he's going to make 8, 9, or 10. We're acknowledging he is a gifted offensive player.
But every penny counts, though, Johnny.
Yes,
that's the thing, right? There is a big difference between 8 and 10.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It becomes, ultimately, the difference between another, in Pittsburgh, the fact that Crosby and Ovechkin have a cap number at $18 million.
Crosby and Malkin, you mean?
When I said Crosby, Crosby and Malkin come in at $18 million, as opposed to the $21 million that Taves come in Chicago. That's an extra forward.
Yeah,
and a good one. A good forward.
Or the ability to keep a star because you can give him the $3 million more than you could.
Add on $3 million to a guy.
Do you think Austin Matthews feels now that 11 is the floor for his salary or the ceiling?
I don't know what Austin Matthews thinks, but I can't imagine.
The Leafs must think that's the ceiling.
Yeah, I agree. I think the sales pitch here now the rest of the summer is to commit to get him 8 years at $11 million.
I think that's sensible.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fair.
I think he's one of the best.
And people will say, well, he's better than UFA, RFA. Right. They are not the same thing.
You're not comparing
the same thing. It's apples and oranges, yeah. Leverage points and supply and demand. It's not the same thing. Just because the players are the same, the negotiations aren't the same. So, yes, as a UFA, he'd get more than Tavares. He's not a UFA. Remind yourself of that when you're yelling at me that he deserves more.
He's not he's not negotiating with 31 teams. He's negotiating with one.
I think 11's the ceiling. This slides right in. Same thing.
Gotta go.
It'd be a huge win if they could get under that.
Tyler just said,
yes.
I'm not sure I
Tyler
see
just
that
said, happen. Gotta go.
All right, Johnny.
All right. Good I gotta go.
You, take it.
Nice suit again.
Take it easy.
All right. Have a good weekend, boys.
All right. There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. We got Gord Miller in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive will continue with Daniel Negreanu. He's coming up. He's out of the World Series of Poker. Got some great audio from
I've
the tables.
I've always wanted to play in that.
Yeah, we'll catch up with Daniel next. Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Daniel Negreanu coming up here in a moment. He's out of the World Series of Poker.
Always wanted to play in that once. I'm sure everyone thinks they can play in it.
$10,000 buy-in.
Yeah.
That's where you kind of lose me. I would love to play. It would be great. If someone else put up the money, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Well, when I used to gamble a lot, and that was a long time ago.
Sports or like tables and stuff?
Yeah. Blackjack.
Really?
I covered a lot of fights in the 80s. And the poker rooms, you had to go to like Sands, the Golden, like you had to go kind of the
gritty,
the old gritty, yeah. The gritty casino,
the Bugsy Siegel,
and they were poker rooms that guys smoking all the time. The windows were grimy, like, you know, it was weird sort of. And all of a sudden, like, poker took off, right? And now there's these giant poker rooms that are luxurious. They got meals. They got, it's great. But I want to ask Daniel about this. But online poker is not the same as real poker. Now, he probably can't say it because he's sponsored. But I've always thought that people that think that online poker is the real thing probably think the same thing about online sex.
Well, I'm not sure about that necessarily.
Virtual poker is not the same as real poker.
Well, you're obviously, there's no connection. There's no human connection.
No.
And I've played online a fair amount. I wouldn't say I played on a lot.
I've never done it. Well, no, I shouldn't say I have done it, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done it on the big sites.
Well, the Canadian government kind of, like the banks, they're a lot more difficult to get online and play online up here.
Yeah.
Like I know, I'm pretty sure TD doesn't allow you to use like a TD Visa card or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that may have changed in recent years, but when it first went online, when PokerStars went online and all these websites that went online, man, they were making a lot of money. And there were a lot of people playing.
When you're playing poker in person and you got to look at the other person and...
Very different.
And he's
situation.
He's exuding confidence, you know, whatever he or she is, you know. That's a whole different thing.
Very different.
Yeah.
All right. So the World Series of Poker continues on TSN. And I guess this is a spoiler, but Daniel's out. I think he went out last night, was it? Day one of the tournament. He's on Twitter, at Real Kid Poker. He's been on the show before. Y'all know him. A Canadian poker star. He's been down in Vegas for a long time. Here's Daniel Negreanu. How you doing, Daniel?
Well, I'm doing good outside of you, as you mentioned, you know, getting eliminated last night on day one, which is a rarity for me. So I don't get knocked out early, but a lot of bad things had to happen, and they all kind of did.
What's that? I mean, you've been playing poker for a long time, and you've made a lot of money, but do you remember that first time you put together 10 grand to buy in? Was it even 10 grand when you first played in the World Series?
Yeah, the World Series since 1970, oddly enough, the buy-in has been 10,000. And
really?
They haven't touched it. They've left it at what it is. Yeah. So obviously 10,000 in 1972, you know, drew a field of maybe 10 to 12 people. And that's grown all the way up to this year, which has the second largest field in World Series history at over 7,800, I think.
Wow.
Wow. 10 grand. That would be my problem. Like I just
10 grand in 1970 though, Daniel.
Well, no kidding.
Like that's a whole, you could buy a house for 10 grand in 1970. A nice one.
Oh yeah. I mean, again, it was originally designed for the highest stakes gamblers, you know, in the world, and it was a small collection of gamblers who come to Las Vegas and you know, play that series of events. And it's grown now. It's more corporate. It's a little more mainstream. And, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, 10,000 isn't what it was in 1970, but it still brings out all the best players as well as a wider variety of, you know, recreationals who save up for it all year.
So, Daniel, there's no question that, you know, online poker has been a big part of this. The television coverage, I'm sure there's no one at the World Series of Poker who doesn't play it online. How different is it playing poker face-to-face than playing it online?
Yeah, well, I heard you talking about that, and sure, certainly there are differences. Obviously, when you're playing live, you can look at a person, you know, get a sense of whether they're bluffing or not, whereas online, all you have is focus on numbers. But, you know, both are strategic in different ways, and both offer a lot of, like, opportunities to, you know, thrive and succeed. Unfortunately, actually, in the United States, you mentioned some of the, you know, the banking issues in Canada. It's a lot worse in the U.S., where we don't even have regulated online poker. It's regulated in most countries across the world. I mean, you can probably play in Afghanistan, but not in the free United States of America.
Wow. Daniel, what's the biggest mistake that newcomers to poker make? Or someone at the World Series for the first time?
Well, I think, you know, trying to win the tournament on the first day. You know, this is a grueling event. The World Series Poker Main Event, it's going to be over 10 to 12 days, and you're talking about 12 to 14-hour days every day. And on day one, the best you can do is you can chip up, sure. The worst you can do is lose them all, which is what I did on day one. So really, you just don't want to be in a rush early on and just kind of be a little more patient than your typical tournament.
He is Daniel Negreanu on Twitter, at RealKidPoker, Canadian poker star. I've been down there in Vegas for a long time, and I think the most obvious difference also about playing at a live table and playing online is that you can have conversations with the other people at the table. Huh. And you had a conversation last night. I want to play this clip that has caused a big stir up here in Toronto, and this is Daniel last night at the World Series of Poker.
To center stage here,
they've
our feature table.
Of firepower up top. Obviously, he's going to help, but what are they going to do on D? There's no room there. And also, in 2 years from now, Matthews and Neiman.
That's what he's still talking about.
Where's the money?
Yeah,
you just tied up $78 million.
Yep.
But yeah, this year, and then they're like in win now mode.
So I can't figure this out. Do you like the Tavares signing or not?
I think for next year, the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be a much better team. I don't think they're going to be the best team in the league. I don't think they addressed issues in the places where they needed to, even with the Patrick Marleau signing. You know, when they signed him, a 36-year-old guy, to a 3-year deal for a pretty hefty price tag, I thought, wouldn't it be better spent on whatever D-man was available and that, you know, would want to play in an attractive market like Toronto? So I feel like even on the farm, they have plenty of firepower that can fill in. This team didn't struggle to score goals. John Tavares, I love the player. I met this kid when he was 14. I think he's fantastic, and I think he's going to make them better. The question is, he can't play goal. He can't play defense. And on top of that, now you're signing a guy to $11 million a year, where's the money for Matthews? What do you think he's going to want? He's not going to play for, like, less than 10. Now you've got $22 million, you know, locked up in two players, and you have the same problem that Edmonton faces right now, where they got $15 million in McDavid, $13 million in Draisaitl, and the rest of the team, maybe a little subpar, and you see the results, you know, this year. I expect them to be better, but you really hamper yourself with putting too much in one basket. And I think they're going to face some real struggles when, you know, free agents, you know, like Matthews, Nylander, and Marner want to get paid.
Sounds like a guy who assesses the odds and runs the numbers a lot. Are you a Leaf fan, or are you now a Vegas Golden Knights first and foremost guy? Because you've been at a lot of Vegas games this year.
Yeah, so luckily, you know, Toronto plays in the East, Vegas plays in the West. There's not a lot of issues with rooting for both teams until they face each other, and it's very unlikely that they'll face each other in the finals. Having said that, you know, I've been in Las Vegas 20 years. I was here for the very beginning of this franchise and the miracle season that they had. So if I had to identify, I would identify first and foremost as a Vegas Golden Knights fan that has an eye out for Toronto and roots for them to stay the course, but they seem to fail at that. You know, of a youth movement. They continue to start to have a little bit of success and say, okay, let's sign some big names and then gut our team and our future, which is not something I've been a fan of for the past 20 years in Toronto.
Well, I got to say, I was down in Vegas about a month and a half ago, and it was during the Winnipeg series. And I was astonished by how popular the team was in Vegas. It was at a couple of different spots, and people are wearing Golden Knights jerseys all over the place. In different casinos, like, dealers are wearing Golden Knights jerseys. I was actually really impressed
I mean, I'll be honest, Daniel, and I'm sure you're not surprised by this. As a guy born and raised in Toronto, I didn't really care to see Vegas get a team. I thought Quebec City should have got one first. I thought Toronto should get a second team before Vegas got a team. And I wasn't convinced it was going to work. And they hit a grand slam in year one. But I'm still a bit cynical. If this goes south, and it will eventually. Every team, you go through a 4 or 5 year period where you're awful. Do you think it's going to work? Do you think it'll still be that popular in Vegas if they're an awful team? Because this past year was just a miracle run.
Yeah. Well, with all due respect, I think one of the reasons that you had that conclusion about Las Vegas is you just don't know the city.
Now, right,
the people in this town, this is a sports town, right? This is a city full of sports fans that are displaced, like people that moved from Chicago to Las Vegas. And we didn't have a team to root for. The fact that we were first to market, before any other franchises, you look at San Jose as the model. That wasn't a hockey town before they got the Sharks, and now everyone there is a Sharks fan. So being first to market was obviously a key. Now, how is this team going to do in the lean years? Well, first of all, we have an added bonus where 5,000 people from Edmonton will fly up to watch the Oilers play in Las Vegas because it's a destination city. Nobody does that when, and says, hey, let's make a road trip and go watch Columbus. Nobody goes to Columbus for a vacation. So we have that. In addition to that, there's no state tax in Las Vegas. It's an incredibly attractive market. So the idea of this team being bad for 4 to 5 years would be sort of a mistake by management or like some sort of huge errors. Because we have everything going for us in terms of possibility of being good for the next 10 years. We have a farm system with some players coming up in the next couple of years. And every free agent, when they look at where they want to go and they have a choice between, Ottawa, Winnipeg, Edmonton, or Las Vegas, you tell me what a 26-year-old guy who, is looking to get a big payday, whether he's going to be willing to take a slightly smaller deal to play in Las Vegas for a few years.
And the other mistake about Vegas is that people think of only the Strip. And there's, a million and a half people in Las Vegas, Daniel?
Roughly? There's 2 million people. It's actually the largest city in the United States without a major franchise.
Okay,
two million.
2 million people now. And they're doctors, lawyers. Like, not everyone works on the Strip.
No, it's a normal city that just happens to have a Strip. I remember the first time I went to Vegas, much like what you're saying, I thought, where do people actually live? But it's a regular city. I live in Summerlin, which is a suburb.
Where all the players live.
Suburb in Las Vegas. We have casinos, which is unique and different. But really, outside of that, Vegas offers you the best restaurants, best entertainment, and now one of the best hockey franchises of all time.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We'll see. And here's how I would counter your previous point.
He's all in.
Is that by all accounts, Vegas was just begging to get a conversation with Tavares. He didn't even give him a meeting. So they're not going to get everybody. He came to Toronto over going to Vegas.
Okay, you two, stop it.
Oh, well, no, they're not going to get everybody.
But it's the truth.
But I'll make a small wager right now that Eric Carlson is going to be in a Vegas Golden Knights jersey come October.
You think so?
I think so. I think if you look at the map and you look at the trouble that Ottawa's in, and it's just a complete mess. The idea of him wanting to stay doesn't seem realistic with the option they gave him, which was $80 million over 10 years. He can get a lot more. The question is, who can take him on as well as the Bobby Ryan salary they want to get rid of?
Right.
Name another team that has that space. Not many other than Vegas. And, Bobby Ryan might fit in perfectly with this team because this team was built by a group of misfits that were told they're not worth it. So having Bobby Ryan as a throw-in might be the perfect Golden Knights story going forward. This is a guy who did score 30 goals 4 times in the league and was perennial and still has some chops. It's tough to, get it done with a dysfunctional team like Ottawa right now.
Right. No, I think you're onto something there, though, with Carlson. I mean, by all accounts, at the deadline, that's where they were going.
Are you all in, Daniel, on Carlson as a Vegas Golden Knight? You're pushing all your chips in the middle of the table?
Well, I'm a little concerned, though. I'm concerned what the deal looks like. I mean, I think that having Carlson for the next 7-8 years in the blue line would be fantastic, but if it means giving up, Tuck, Theodore, Suzuki, and a first-round pick or something, I say let's wait a year and see what see what happens if he actually does hit the free agent market, and so we don't have to give up any assets. Because I don't know that Ottawa tried to get a deal done with Vegas and other teams at the deadline. They couldn't find a suitable suitor that was going to give them what they wanted for him. So I don't know that I'd want to overpay because they're in a vulnerable position right now. And you want to and hopefully McPhee understands that and doesn't do what he did with the Tatar deal, which was overpay by giving up a first, second, and a third. And for a guy who really didn't even get much playing time in the playoffs.
He is Daniel Negreanu. He's going to be working with ESPN tonight in their broadcast of the World Series of Poker. It begins on TSN 2 at 8 p.m. tonight. So you'll hear Daniel, see Daniel, and we always appreciate you doing this for us, and I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road.
Nothing more interesting to me and fun than talking hockey, especially with some guys who know what they're talking about.
Appreciate that. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
There's Daniel Negreanu.
I'd love to play poker with him sometime. I'd love to get my butt kicked by him in a poker game sometime just to see what it's like.
I got big into poker, like big into poker, and I played a lot with my friends at school and a little bit online, and I would watch on TV. And there's probably 15 or 20 poker celebrities,
yeah,
so to speak, and Daniel's at the top of that list, and in large part because of his demeanor at the table. He talks, and he aggravates some people, other people he makes laugh, he gives you an opinion.
I used to have a weekly, or sorry, monthly poker game for guys here at TSN in the 90s. We had a regular game, and I just started dating my wife, and a couple of guys were hung up on a plane, so she sat in and played and took Phil King, then the president of TSN, for $500.
No way. 500 cash.
500 cashola.
That's a pretty, that must have been a cash game then you were playing.
Yeah.
I haven't played poker like with other people in a long time. Like when I was down in Vegas, we played blackjack.
I'm thinking of getting the game going again.
Fire up that game.
I'll invite you.
All right. Smoking has to be optional.
Oh, cigars.
Absolutely.
No cigarettes.
Okay. I don't smoke, so it doesn't really matter. But if you want like the true vintage old school poker game,
I got the whole thing.
Good man. All right, Gord's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. We'll get to our best bets. Brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Washington has been a disaster recently, but they've got Miami at home. So they've got to win, right, Gord?
You're on a limb there. You're really going to...
I think they have to win here.
Okay.
So I'm going to be on that. Atlanta's getting plus money. Milwaukee's a pretty good team, but I will be on Atlanta tonight. And I am fading the Baltimore Orioles, which I always do. Throw down 20 by betting on Minnesota in that game, and you can score 78. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
But you can't play poker.
No. I got the itch to play poker now.
I'm going
to
get the game going. You know what?
Get me in there. I need to be a part of this game.
Jim Panousis is a charter member. He's got to come.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimmy P's got to be there. Keith Pelly doesn't come anymore. He's now running the European
PGA. Yeah, he's not kicking around.
He won't be there. So there's a spot. Phil King is now running Sony, so he might still be there.
Okay.
Phil liked to come. He was a regular.
Just send it out, man. Send out the Evite.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it. It'll be fun. It can get a little. I remember the one night this guy, we got into a match pot game and he lost $1,400, and he was a freelancer, and so he's writing post-dated checks on the hood of his car at 5 a.m. And like almost crying.
Right.
You shouldn't bet.
No. But I'm glad that you made him pay because it is important. Can't welch on those bets, man. If you're in, you're in.
I'll tell you, like I played blackjack at the Merv Griffin Casino in the Bahamas. So before Atlantis and all that, there was a Merv Griffin Casino in Nassau. And I made $6,500 playing blackjack in two nights and was so proud of myself and thought I was a god of blackjack. Went to Vegas a month later to cover a fight. Lost the $6,500, went chasing it, and was down $15,000.
That's
like that.
That's a bad spot to be in.
Like I was.
That's Owning Mahoney type. Have you seen that show? Yeah. That movie, Owning Mahoney.
Yeah, and I just like, are you like?
Yeah, because, that's the problem.
And
man.
You can see, you go chasing, right?
Yeah,
and you just
and you're like, it's going to happen again. I'll find a heater again. It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
And it's not. There's a cooler waiting for you.
The dealer's just hot.
Yeah.
No, there's a reason these casinos have marble
exactly.
And free drinks.
Because everyone goes chasing and no one ends up winning.
Well, some people do, but...
I guess so. All right, Gord. Good stuff today, man. Tomorrow, skip the dishes. You and Hunt and Mullen, you guys figure it out.
Yeah, we got to figure
it
out. Because I need some food for the road to drive. Okay. I'm going to Point of Barrel tomorrow.
Where the hell is that?
North of Parry Sound. So it's an island cottage. So you got to drive up there and then take a boat.
Oh, see, I don't...
In the dark.
That's not how I roll.
How do you roll?
Not a fan of the island cottage.
Why?
I'd rather be on land. I like to access to a car is necessary. I understand an island, but you know what I'm saying.
Island is land.
Access to roads.
Okay, you have to have a road.
All right.
Okay.
All right, man. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Sounds good.
There's Gord Miller. I'm Brian Hayes. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.